So we're going to have a reading from the Bible, and it is on page 1 of your Bible, because we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 1 this evening. Hope you're all found. I just realised it's not actually on page 1 in my Bible, but I'm sure you can probably find where it is. So I'm going to read Genesis 1 and the beginning of chapter 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called for dry ground lands, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it, according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from night, and to let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate night from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground. Everything that has a breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Well, do turn back in your Bibles to that reading from Genesis 1. And we'll pray. Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. By the power of your Holy Spirit, please would we now understand it and believe it and take your truth into our lives and be transformed into the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The purpose of life is to find out, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? So said the late George Harrison. Harrison was one of the Beatles, for those of you under 40. The Beatles were a popular music group, for those of you over... Sorry.
Oh, they're in the charts.
Moving on. Someone has calculated how a typical life of 70 years is spent. Sleep, 23 years. Work, 16 years. TV, 8 years. Eating, 6 years. You can double that in my case. Travel, 6 years. Leisure, 4 to 5 years. Illness, 4 years. Dressing, 2 years. Again, I think I need more than 2 years. It takes me ages to find my socks when I'm so tired. And religion, 0.5 years. Now, I really hope we spend more time at our religion than we spend getting dressed. Now, is there any point to any of this? Someone has said, life's a rude word, and then you die. My uncle Phil, you met him a few weeks ago, who's a missionary to Israel, became a Christian out of a Marxist atheist home. Phil is very clever, and as a young teenager began reading existential philosophers. That means philosophers who said, there is no God, therefore there is no truth, therefore there is no purpose in life, therefore, commit suicide. There's no point in anything. Life is just a random accident. The only thing worth having is pleasure. At least pleasure gives you a temporary boost. I wonder, what do you think the meaning of life is? I wonder what your purpose in life is. I want to put to you that the meaning of life is knowing God. The purpose of life is serving God. I put it to you that if you do not believe in God, you will have to live for something else. The best thing, apart from God, you can live for is family. That's the best thing an atheist can believe in. But the Bible says, come into a relationship with God, and then when you know God, you will be able to have good relationships with those around you. Many atheists live to serve others. Think of those who work in famine relief, say. That is also a very noble way to live. But Jesus said, the poor you will always have with you. In other words, even if we give our lives in the service of the poor, ultimately, we're going to die disappointed, because we will never make poverty history, I'm very sorry to say, even though I'm totally committed to doing all we can for the poor. It's just that I'm a realist. Often, of course, people don't live for family or charity, they live for career. This can be challenging and satisfying, but there will come a day when you have to retire. Then what is your life's purpose? This is why retirement is a trauma for many people. But sadly, many people don't live for noble things at all. Many live for drink. Another of my uncles was an alcoholic. I took his funeral. We scattered his ashes in the sea because he became an alcoholic in the Navy. I can think of two other alcoholics' funerals I've taken. Both of them died young. Very sad. Drink is a demonic master. It utterly ruins people and really hurts their families. People obviously live for drugs, getting another high. Some people live for sex, never finding satisfaction, and so we could go on. I want to show you from Genesis 1 that we were made for a relationship with God. When we have a relationship with God, we find that we're able to have great relationships with our family. We find that work falls into its proper place. We find that we do want to serve the poor. We find that we can enjoy a drink without getting drunk. We don't need to take drugs, illicit drugs, I mean. We discover God's purpose for us sexually. You and I need to know God. So I've got two simple headings. God made the world and God made people. Firstly then, God made the world. Look at verse 1. In the beginning, God. Before the creation of the world, God was. God never had a beginning. God will never have an end. Jesus took the name for God, I am, and he applied it to himself. God is eternally a relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is what we call the Trinity. They've always existed in perfect love and harmony. And this God, who never needed anything, never needed anybody else, the Trinity decided to make the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Why did God do that? Well, the Apostle John tells us, God is love. Because God is love, an eternal relationship of love, because of his love, he decided to create a world. The world. Now, we also saw last week that God created the world for his glory. This is how he decided to glorify himself. But I want you to think this week about another aspect. God created the world out of love. He wanted to give you and me life. And as we'll see in a moment, he wants to give us love. A relationship with himself. I find this the most satisfying explanation for why we are here. A loving God created us. Notice verse 2, before the earth was formed, the Holy Spirit was hovering or brooding over the creation process. So we can say all three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were involved in creating the world. That's why it said, let us make man in our own image, and so on. We know from John 1 that God the Son made the world. Now I want you to notice something, verse 3. And God said. God speaks creation into being. That's how he made the world. He spoke, and things happened. God spoke, and there was light and darkness. He spoke, and there was night and day. He spoke, and there was dry land. He spoke, and there was sky. He spoke, and the seas were organized. God spoke, and there were plants and vegetables, trees, fruit. God spoke, and there were stars. He created the sun and the moon. He spoke, and there were fish and birds. God spoke, and there were animals. Finally, God spoke, and there were people. Clearly, this is not a scientific textbook. It's a simplification of what happened. The point we're meant to grasp is the world was created by the Word of God. And amazingly, when we study the Bible, the same voice of God which spoke creation into being speaks to us. That is why we must read our Bibles morning and evening. We must ask God to speak to us. I must work at sermon preparation. You must listen hard to the sermons because God's voice is powerful. God spoke creation into being. And God wants to speak to you. So listen. Notice something else. God made a perfect world. It comes again and again. And God saw that it was good. God didn't create a world with death in it, or suffering, or violence, or anything bad. God created a good world. The world got spoiled when Adam and Eve sinned, which we'll be looking at in 2 weeks' time. But for now, I want you to take on board that God made the world. And it was a good world. This means the world has a purpose. It was created by a designer. It was created for his purpose. Therefore, there is such a thing as truth. God created a world with right and wrong hardwired into it. There is such a thing as morality. We can say it is wrong to kill because God created the world with right and wrong as part of the design. Revelation 4:11, which Andy read out, says, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You see what that's saying? Because God made the world, because God gave us life, we must worship him. That's the meaning of life. And that gives dignity and purpose to all that I do. So, when I'm putting the rubbish out, I'm doing it to the glory of God. When I'm putting out tables before Sunday at 6, I'm doing it to the glory of God. It glorifies God when I rake up leaves just as much as when I preach in a posh central London church. The whole of life is worship. So my marriage is worship to God. I glorify God by the way I love Becca. And when I fail to love Becca, I fail to glorify God. I glorify God when I love my children. And when I fail to love my children, I fail to glorify God. This is how God has designed the world. He is the creator. We're meant to keep him central and obey him at all times. Someone has said, for best results, follow the Maker's instructions. So we could go through the whole of life and talk about how we glorify God by obeying him. And this gives life meaning. I can have a marriage and a family and a career and leisure activities and see them all in their proper place. They are not gods to be worshipped. We are to worship God as we do these things. So God made the world. Secondly, God made people. Verse 26. God makes people in his image. So you cannot look at a dog and say, much as I love dogs, you cannot look at a dog and say, that's what God is like. My father put this memorably when we were talking about putting our dog Scamp down because he had very bad eczema. I said to my father, you've got psoriasis and we're not going to put you down. And my father said, the dog hasn't got a soul. And I learned something important that day. A dog hasn't got a soul. A dog is not eternal. A dog is not like God. But we are like God. We have a soul. That's to say, our true personality will go on forever and ever in heaven or in hell. Therefore, it's not wrong to shoot a horse if it's injured, but it is wrong to shoot a person. It's not wrong to put an animal down, but it's wrong to help someone commit suicide. Life is precious because we are made in the image of God. Not only this, but we are the rulers of creation. Verse 26. We have the right to be farmers and to decide if animals live or die. We have the right to exploit the earth, to mine for coal, says the Welshman, to quarry for rock. God intended us to exploit the earth. But he also intended us to steward the world's resources. We're in charge of the earth. Therefore, we should be concerned about global warming and the melting of the polar ice cap. Not least because poor people in Bangladesh will be flooded because of the excessive consumption of rich people like us. It's biblical to be green, which I say with some embarrassment when I think about my lifestyle.
Notice verse 27. Both male and female are made in the image of God. Male and female are created equal. Not all religions teach this. Notice verse 28. Large families are encouraged. Have as many children as you can possibly manage. Be fruitful and increase in number. Remember, however, God wants us to wait to have children until we're married. So, God made people. We have wonderful dignity. We are made in the image of God. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? Made in the image of God. When you think of who God is, his glory, his majesty, his holiness, his splendour, we are made in the image of God. Let no one ever tell you you're rubbish. You were made in the image of God. We are the rulers of creation. Let no one tell you you're not important. You have a God-given role in life. The same cannot be said of a chimpanzee. Sounds ridiculous to say it, but it has to be said in our society. Chimpanzees are not made in the image of God. But here's the most important thing about being human. We were created to know God. That's the purpose of the seventh day. You will have noticed that creation takes place over 6 days. On the seventh day, God rests. He calls this day of rest holy. This is the Sabbath. This is why I believe you should keep Sunday for church and family. But I'm not a legalist. The Pharisees were legalistic. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in making up rules about what you can and cannot do on the Sabbath. And of course, in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was Saturday. And it appears that it becomes Sunday, the Lord's Day, in the New Testament. The point of the Sabbath is this: to know God, to spend time with God, to come to church, to read your Bible, to read Christian books, to spend time with other Christians. The greatest privilege of being human is that we can know God. It was such a thrill to me 15 years ago to come to know Becca. It was such a thrill. I was excited. Every time I saw her, crumbs, Becca's coming. Becca's coming at 6 o'clock. Really excited to get to know Becca. And it's a privilege. Humanly speaking, it's been the greatest privilege of my life to know Becca. Becca's wonderful, but she's not God. I know God. I was made to know God, the creator of the universe. The animals do not know God. Apes do not know God. Only people know God. So here's a question. Do you know God? God wants you to know him as your father. Not like human fathers who are imperfect, but as the one who will always love you. God made you to know him. If you want to know him, you do need to say sorry for all the times you've disobeyed him. But here's some amazing news. Jesus, God the Son, died on the cross to pay for all the times we've disobeyed God. Jesus died so that we might be forgiven and come to know God. God made the world. We're not here by accident. The world has meaning. Life has purpose. And God made people. And he made us to know him. Thank you for listening.